Well, this morning we're going to continue a series of studies that we discussed earlier. Questions, popular questions that people have asked, religiously speaking. And the top 10 questions, top 12 questions we're going to be looking at this year come from an article that I read that talked about the number of searches that of religious questions that were done on Google, you know, and Google search engine is a very popular search engine, and so it represents a fairly good amount of society when those questions are asked, and those questions are then published each year. And this morning we're going to look at question number 3. Who is Jesus? You know, the top number 1 question, religious question, what is love? The second question was, what is the Bible? And the third question is, who is Jesus? And so these are religious questions that people are asking, and we want to be able to give answers to these questions. Well, this morning, you know, we could talk about who Jesus is for a long time. And we could give a lot of answers to this question. But this morning we're going to try to keep it simple, and we're just going to focus on the basics of who is Jesus. And I want us to start with the, you know, when somebody asks the question, who is Jesus, this is really the verse that should come to your mind. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I think out of all of the verses in the Bible that describe who Jesus is, this encapsulates it the best. There are many other verses we could go to talk about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. So many verses in the Bible. But this one captures the popular imagination and thoughts and hearts of the people when we think about who Jesus is. And so I'd like to take this verse this morning and just kind of look at it as we think about this question, who is Jesus? You know, this verse tells us who Jesus was, what his basic mission was, and how we ought to respond to him as well. If you think about what this verse says and what it means. And so this morning, let's think about this verse and answering the question, who is Jesus? First of all, when we think about the question, who is Jesus? We answer, Jesus is the Son of God. And of course, that's one of the very fundamental things that's taught. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is a special relationship then between Jesus and God. And it is one of sonship. You know, just like when we say, who are you? Well, I'm a son of a human being, and that makes me a human. So also Jesus is the Son of God, and that makes him God. And so that's his nature. That's who he is as the Son of God. The Bible teaches that we can know that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so there are signs that Jesus did that proved that he was who he claimed to be, that is, the Son of God himself. And as the Son of God, Jesus then demonstrates to us who God is. And among the utmost attributes of God, we find that God is love, and that Jesus certainly demonstrates the love of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we see, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so by demonstrating the love of God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? And that demonstrates then that God loves us and that Jesus loves us as well. And in demonstrating this, God's love is shown toward the world. The Son of God demonstrates the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And what a wonderful blessing it is to have the Son of God die for us, that we don't have to die for our own sins, you see, and to give Himself for us so that we would not be eternally separated from God. The Son of God demonstrates the love of God. The Son of God loves the whole world. When we think about the Son of God and what He has done for everyone, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you see, Paul puts it on a very personal level, because everyone who is a child of God can say the same thing that the Apostle Paul says in the words that he says them. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Son of God loves me. Very specifically, He loves you very specifically and personally. He loves everyone in this way, and He can do that because He is God. Now, we have a hard time loving other people, and it's very difficult for us to love just a handful of people. But there's a whole bunch of people in this world, but God doesn't have a hard time doing that. Because He is God. He can have a very personal relationship with every single person on the face of the earth. 1 John 2 and verse 2 says that He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ loves the world. He died for everyone, so that everyone might then have the opportunity to hear the message of the gospel and to respond to it. When we think about that, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5 comes to mind, which says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He gave Himself for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son of God loves us. The Son of God loves the whole world. And the Son of God is then God's gift to mankind. You remember the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 10? And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." The gift of God. Jesus is the gift of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And the Son of God is then God's gift to mankind. But Jesus is also the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. The Son of God who demonstrates the love of God. The Son of God who loves the whole world. The Son of God who is the gift to all mankind. And Jesus is then the Savior. God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that He saves those who believe. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, and this is the same chapter, by the way, as John 3:16. It defines what belief is. Notice John 3 and verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And so belief then in this chapter is not just defined as a mere mental acknowledgement. It's defined as obedience. Belief and obedience go together. They are one and the same. To believe Jesus is to obey Jesus. If we don't obey Jesus, we can't say that we believe Jesus. So when we read John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, what does that mean? It means to listen and to do. When we believe something, we act on that belief. We don't let it go. We don't act as if it doesn't matter. If I believe that a stop sign means stop, then when I get to a stop sign, I'm going to stop. I'm going to act on that belief. Belief and action go together. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so belief implies obedience. Think about Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 and how belief and obedience go together here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so belief and obedience go together. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We think about John 3:16 and who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. And he saves us from something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish. Should not perish. He saves us from perishing, you see. He saves those who believe. He saves us from perishing. Perishing means to die in our sins, as John 8 verse 24 explains. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so sin condemns. And Jesus said that we would perish if we didn't believe on him. Yes, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. Jesus is the Savior. And so he saves us from perishing. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus is the Savior, and he saves us from perishing, and he saves us by giving us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about John 6 and verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. That's what Jesus came to do. Give eternal life to those who would believe on him. He came to give us salvation. He is the Savior. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John chapter 6 and verse 68. And in that prayer that Jesus prayed before his crucifixion to the Father, in John chapter 17 and verse 2, Jesus said, since you have given him, that is the Christ, authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Yes, Jesus gives eternal life. And he saves us then by giving us eternal life. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God who demonstrates the love of God. He's the Son of God who then gives us Himself as a great gift. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior who saves those who believe. He is the Savior who saves from perishing, and He is the Savior who gives eternal life. And then I want to think about John 3:16 as a whole, as a whole. A lot of times we look at verses and we kind of break them apart, and we've done that. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? But as a whole, what does John 3:16 tell us about Jesus? It tells us that He is the personification of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You see, this whole verse is made possible because of the grace of God. This whole verse is made possible because God chose to communicate the truth to us through His Son, Jesus the Christ. This is John telling us about Jesus. It's revealed to John that this is who Jesus is. And so this tells us truth. This communicates truth to us. It's all the inspired Word of God. And so God is telling us the truth about who Jesus is here. He is grace. He is truth personified. When we think about grace, think about who Jesus was, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Jesus is the personification of grace. What it means to be gracious. The word grace has the idea of giving behind it. When we're gracious to others, we're giving to others. We give ourselves away so that we understand that Jesus is a gift. Grace is the giving. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, a passage that talks about giving, we read about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He gave Himself. Though He was rich, He was God in heaven, and yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. You see, that's what grace is. Giving to others, elevating others by giving yourself. And that's what Jesus did. He elevated us. That's what John 3:16 is all about. It's about elevating us by the power of Jesus Christ. When we think about Jesus as the personification of grace, John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 17 comes to mind. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son, or the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Grace is favor toward others. It's the idea then of God favoring us with His Son as a gift to elevate us from a place of separation from God, a place of condemnation, to a place of fellowship with God, a place of salvation. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That moves us, you see, from one place to another. That's grace. Full of grace and truth. For grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. In other words, only because God chose to send His Son to this earth, to die on the cross, so that we might have the opportunity of salvation. Only because God did that can we be saved. By grace you are saved. If God hadn't done that, no one would be saved. We'd all be lost because we'd all be condemned in our sins. But because God chose to give His Son Jesus, to favor us with Jesus, salvation is a gift. What a wonderful thought that is in thinking about the work that Jesus did. Jesus is grace personified. Jesus is the truth personified as well. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is truth. His very person is truth. When we see Jesus, we see truth. What does that mean? It means that I can follow His example, that I can live after everything that He's taught me, that I can then take the things that He has said and practice them within my life. And when I am faithful to that and following Jesus, I am living by the truth of Jesus. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Abide in Jesus, abide in His word, become His disciple, and thus know the truth and be freed by that truth. Jesus is the truth. Notice John 17, verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." When we give ourselves to Jesus, recognize the great gift that God has given, and then we believe that message and believe with a view toward obedience, we follow through with that belief, we act on the teaching and the commandments of Jesus, the truth that Jesus has given us, then Jesus saves us. He takes us out of darkness into the light. He takes us from perishing to having eternal life. And what a great blessing it is then to be a child of God. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is grace and truth. Now, are there many other things we could say? Certainly we could. But for a very basic answer to the question, who is Jesus? This is a good fundamental answer. And we want to give this answer to those who might be asking questions like this about who Jesus is. You know, and the very first thing that we want to come out of our mouth when someone says, "Who is Jesus?" He's the Son of God. Of course, that means He's God Himself. It means He has authority. And then a lot of other things follow from that. Jesus is someone we want to believe in. Jesus is someone who will save us. Jesus is grace and truth. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This morning you can believe on Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Like I said earlier, if you believe a stop sign says stop, then when you get to that stop sign, you will stop. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when you read His words in the Bible, then and you believe He's the Son of God, and you believe on Him, then you're going to do the things that He says. It's really that simple. And what has Jesus told us to do? He's told us to hear His word, to put our faith in Him, to repent of our sins, to confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus has told us to do all of those things. And his apostles then were sent out. And they taught the exact same thing. And we can go through the statements of Jesus and we could go through the book of Acts and see how the apostles' message lined up exactly with what Jesus taught. And they believed that he was the Son of God, and so they went out and taught these things. And when others believed that Jesus was the Son of God, in the book of Acts it says that they were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because Jesus commanded it. They were baptized to have their sins forgiven. They were baptized to be added to the church. They were baptized to be saved from perishing. They were baptized to receive eternal life. Why? Because Jesus said it, and they believed on Jesus, and so they did what Jesus said. And this morning, if you need to do that, then we can help you this very hour. Or maybe you're a child of God who has gone back from following Jesus, and this morning you realize that if you want eternal life, you're going to have to believe on Jesus. You're going to have to do what Jesus says. And so this morning you want to change that, you want to make things right with God, then you can come forward today and ask for the prayers of the church, ask for forgiveness, and we'll help you to get you back on the right track where you once begun but have gotten off the way. And we want that to happen. And if that's something that you need to do today, then we're ready to help you with that as well. And whatever your need may be, you can come make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.